Moses came down from the hill, holding the rules in his hand. Looked all around, suddenly found no one was listening. Now it's time to throw down, so throw down. Throw down. Well, throw down. Throw down.
Fucking show. Is this thing on? Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt and munch. I am your host, Landon Doan, and I'm joined by my co-host, my tag team partner, if you will, Rabrigo Rodriguez. Will Rab, how are we doing this afternoon?
I am very well.
Or excuse me, I guess based on your name, I should say, hola, ¿cómo está usted? That's where you say bien, too.
Bien, I guess.
I don't
speak Espanol.
I just showed you all the Spanish that I know after 3.5 years in high school and college Spanish.
And I took like 2 years for high school German. And I don't speak a lot of it either, so how I managed to graduate UT, I still don't understand how I passed that German class.
Well, the beautiful thing about a electronic media journalism degree at Middle Tennessee State University, go flying blue horses, is you didn't need a foreign language credit.
I guess I should have gone to mighty MTSU.
Yes, home of the flying blue horses. But we're not here to talk about the flying blue horses. We're not here to talk about the Sun Belt. We're not here to talk about them changing conferences, which I heard they might.
Or about the languages we do or do not speak.
Exactly. We're here to talk about the sweet science of professional wrestling, ain't
indeed
we, Rab?
Yes. And we got about 3 weeks till our next pay-per-view.
Which is Extreme Rules.
And normally, I wouldn't know when Extreme Rules was, so I wouldn't know how many weeks we had. And I wouldn't be amazed if there was like a 6-week build to this pay-per-view, but I give the WWE credit for it. I wish they'd learn from that and try to do it more often, just space things out properly. You know, the card that's shaping up, I gotta say, you know, not a fan of these gimmick pay-per-views, but I'm excited to watch Extreme Rules in a couple weeks.
I'm in the same boat with you. I'm tired of these gimmicked pay-per-views where it's like, well, these people are going to fight in a Hell in a Cell because the name of the pay-per-view is Hell in the Cell. Not when the gimmick warrants them fighting in a Hell in a Cell. It's just, oh, screw it, here you go. But this, for whatever reason, I'm really digging the feel of this show.
I'm just wondering, we'll get back to Extreme Rules in a second, I'm just wondering whose idea that was. And if it wasn't Vince's, why he likes the idea so much. Is it because they're marketing to children and it's simple for them to understand?
So, I mean, that could be one aspect of it because, I mean, kids, I would imagine, are drawn to the flashy stuff, you know, people going through tables or getting smashed with chairs or something like that. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, you bring up ECW all the time. I didn't get to see ECW nearly to the extent that you did, but when I was in Florida on vacation 1 year and I saw ECW come on the TV and I saw somebody go through a table, well, I sat my ass down and watched the rest of the show.
But they didn't need to call the show ECW somebody's ass flying through a table. I wouldn't mind if they had a couple of them. Like, because technically the Royal Rumble's a gimmick pay-per-view because it's the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah.
It's built around. And we both agree that we'd like to see the Money in the Bank match back at Mania.
Yes.
But I wouldn't mind if they weren't all gimmicks. Say you had like you kept like a couple of good ones, like Extreme Rules. Or like Elimination Chamber or Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And those were a couple ideas, but not all of them.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed, if WWE was just would go to the point where, like you're saying, just have a couple of these gimmick pay-per-views. I mean, make it mean something when somebody gets a chair wrapped around their head. I mean, like, don't do it all the time. Don't force it into every pay-per-view. It's like I gave the example earlier, it's like Hell in a Cell pay-per-view rolls around. Whether or not the gimmick warrants it, the champions are going to be fighting in a cell, and mm-hmm. sometimes it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. I would keep Extreme Rules, and I would keep Money in the Bank, and the rest of them I'd find, you know,
I think I'd do away with the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
I would treat that like Hell in a Cell, and you bring that out when the feud warrants.
Exactly.
Because you just had the Royal Rumble. There's no reason to need another Elimination Chamber match to make another contender.
Exactly.
Really.
Exactly. And, I mean, maybe...
It worked out good this year, mm-hmm. but it's not always necessary.
Yeah, very true. But Elimination Chamber is shaping up nicely. So far, we have a triple threat match featuring Alberto Del Rio, former World Heavyweight Champion.
Along with me.
Yes, along with Rabriguez. That sounds right. We have Jack Swagger, Fox News' favorite wrestler.
Alongside Zeb Coulter.
Yeah, Zeb Coulter, not Zeb Colton.
And
I, like to call
I would assume that since Chael Sonnen's not doing anything, he might show up because he's an American patriot.
That he is. Well, speaking of Chael Sonnen, CM Punk was in Chael's corner at UFC, whatever number he got his ass smashed in by Bones Jones.
You know, this is a different circle, but there's this poster running around. It just makes me think of, like, something wrestling fans would do. There's this fake UFC poster running around. It's Anderson Silva and GSP, and it's not titled, it's not numbered anything. It's just UFC New York coming November 2013. And if you just Google UFC New York and look in the news, there's no press releases from the UFC. So the Internet MMA community has just gone nuts because they're finally going to wrestle in Madison Square Garden and it's not actually happening.
And then Vince McMahon's like, oh, that's adorable. You guys are finally getting to MSG. Yeah, guess what? Me and my dad ran that place. Have fun, Dana.
But back to wrestling.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're starting to get into a version of man-on-man violence I really don't care about. Like I've said before, I prefer my man-on-man violence to be a little more scripted and involve folding chairs.
Yeah, so back to folding chairs. You got Zeb Coulter and his brigade of racism, and then of course the champion who seems to be kind of the I hope he survives through this because I would like to see a good long title run from Dolph because I think he has the potential, but it looks like he's kind of at the disadvantage that they're trying to put everything you know that they can to test him.
Ziggles isn't going to lose this match.
Okay, maybe not. It'll only put his character over more when he overcomes, but they're certainly trying to make this a difficult first title defense.
That they are. Well, first of all, it went from what being just Del Rio and Ziggler then to throwing Swaggy in there to make it a triple threat and coming off a Raw this past Monday when Ricardo Rodriguez beat Zeb Coulter and Big E Langston.
In a dusty finish that even Dusty hated.
Yeah, the Alberto Del Rio got to pick the ladder match. So they really are building it up to make it seem that much harder against Ziggler. But at the same time, there's no way Ziggler's dropping the strap.
No, and I think one of the reasons they have to do this is they don't have well-developed characters all the way around. They had a decent feud because Ziggler's cashed in. Guess technically, well, no, Swagger wasn't really due a rematch because he wasn't he was never the champion.
Exactly, he lost at Mania.
He wasn't necessarily have a clause. It's Del Rio who had the beef, so they could have just let that go. But whatever.
Yeah.
I think maybe they do this because they're not sure if they could to get people interested in a whole feud off of Ziggles and Del Rio simply that Ziggles ran in.
You mentioned something that made me think of this. I keep going back and forth. Do you think Alberto Del Rio is a good face?
I think he has the potential to be. I don't think he's over. When they had the whole thing going with him versus Swagger and Coulter, he was over simply because Swagger was such a clear heel.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what they've really done that makes him. Oh, they just decided one day that he was. It's just like they woke up one day and ADR and The Miz are faces just because we said so. They didn't do mm-hmm. anything.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question. This is all hypothetical. Where would Alberto Del Rio's face character be without Ricardo Rodriguez? That's the thing. It's like Ricardo is more over than Alberto is.
I don't understand why they had to completely abandon everything that even though he was a heel made Berto so great.
Can we get the cars back?
Yes.
Seriously, come on. And his old music, I want that back too. Not
yes.
This thing where they start with the da 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 and they go into it. It's like I want the him coming out there honking a horn for 45 seconds in some like Maserati or something.
Well, he can ride out without. I think they're worried that people won't like that, and they're trying to make him a face just because they need faces for SmackDown. Even though they're both kind of combined shows now, once again, and they're on both shows, but technically they're fighting for the B championship.
Yeah, they're I guess technically members of SmackDown, though. Now, ever since Raw became the Super Show, they've kind of blurred the lines of the brand split.
The brands are dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The brand split was a fun idea, and it's fun to still say it in name, but for all intents and purposes, everybody's on the same show.
Well, yeah, if they wouldn't have continued to stack the deck repeatedly against SmackDown, which was stupid.
Even though a lot of times SmackDown ended up being a better show than Raw.
Yeah.
Despite having the quote-unquote lesser talents. But we're not here to reminisce about SmackDown of the past. We're here to talk about Extreme Rules 2013, which is coming up in 2 or 3 weeks.
3 weeks. The, yeah. The 19th of May.
Yep. And then, in addition to the Triple Threat World Heavyweight Championship match, we have a WWE Championship match with a stipulation that's yet to be named. It's The Ryback versus WWE Champion John Juan Cena.
Yeah. I thought a couple weeks ago, after they had the run-in with the Shield where John Cena acted like he was going to leave and then he came back in and helped bail out Ryback. And they had the chair that they used to, I think Cena came back in with the chair, Foley's chair or something like that, I don't remember. But one of them had a chair and they were using the chair as a weapon and then it was on the ground. They're both looking at it. And I was waiting for one of them to pick it up and whack the other one across the back with it. And I was just thinking, they're going to have a chair match.
I wouldn't be surprised if it is a chair match, especially you mentioned the segment with Mick Foley, and I mean that it was practically starring Mick Foley co-starring a chair. So,
but I'm not sure how you bring that in now because they didn't do anything with it last week.
They'll put together some vignette or something.
They'll put together some BS, but
like I said, they'll put together some vignette. But of course, we said we don't know the stipulation. In all honesty, we don't know for sure if this match is going to go off because this weekend, WWE.com put out a report that John Cena hurt his Achilles on the European tour. They didn't say how serious it was or anything over the weekend. Of course, if you saw Raw this past week, it's starting to look like this was just a .com work. Now, and that's the thing. It's like in the past, .com has broken, like, blah, 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 is legitimately injured, is out 6 to 8 weeks, or, like, blah, 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 is coming back off of injury. They use .com to do legitimate stuff like that.
Not everything on .com's a work.
Exactly. But some stuff on .com is. And if you go through your text history between you and I texted you sometime over the weekend. I'm saying, it says on the internet, Cena messed up his Achilles. Like, this could be bad. Then I sent you a text almost immediately, but this is a .com story, so take it with a grain of salt.
And here's the thing. Did John Cena maybe tweak his ankle?
Probably.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do they want to work this into the storyline? Yes. Another place they could be going since they're working with this injury. Last man standing or I quit match. Going to do one thing, and then he really did get injured. They decide to use that. You know, life always presents the best stories.
Well, and you mentioned them possibly changing what they had planned. They actually did change some of what they had planned on the European trip because before Cena got hurt, the main event was Cena versus Ryback. After he got hurt, Cena was transitioned into a six-man tag with Team Hell No. And that was the main event, where John Cena could just stand on the outside, wait for the hot tag, come in, hit his five moves of doom, send everybody home happy. And that's kind of what we saw on Raw this past Monday, except when he went to go hit the AA, what did he do? Sold that Achilles like it just got stabbed.
If your Achilles is really busted, you're not working. You're not.
Ask Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, Kobe, how's your Achilles? Ladies and gentlemen, Kobe Bryant's here, and he's telling me that he could not do an AA on Shaq with a bad Achilles, even though he really wants to.
Wait, did you just hear that? Kobe said he couldn't even stand on his Achilles, though he really wants to. Yet John Cena was out there running around kicking the Shield's ass, and it's like, oh, no, I hurt my ankle.
Kobe wanted to go to a state known for its mountains and do some things in a hotel room, but his Achilles is hurt.
To tie it back into a wrestling angle, we could talk about how Abraham Washington got fired from Raw because he made that exact joke on live television.
Yeah, but
I remember texting you, .. Did Abraham Washington just tell a rape joke on Raw? Turns out he did. Whoops.
But back to Cena. I think he hurt himself. I think he hurt his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that people are going to notice something is up with his ankle. Mm-hmm. We need to say something. But if we're going to use it in a storyline, we need to exaggerate and we need to give a specific injury. What do people know? Oh, people know about your Achilles mm-hmm. and your ankle.
Well, and they were also smart if it turns out to be the way it looks and this is just a worked angle. I mean, yeah, he could have legitimately been hurt, but if you're going to make it a work shoot or a work angle, whatever you want to call it, they did the important thing of getting out in front of it first. They made this their story, not... Mm-hmm.
Not WrestleView.
Not WrestleView, not PW Insider breaking it, not Paul Nimmer. This was .com saying. And looking around the internet, I mean, it looks like a lot of people just bought it. I mean, there were, unfortunately, a lot of people. It's like, good, I'm glad John Cena's hurt. Now I can get on my fucking TV. Which, seriously, you might not like somebody, but you are glad they got hurt. You are a piece of shit. And we have pieces of shit to talk about later. It's what we call a tease in the business. But it's like the internet wrestling community was totally on board. John Cena's really hurt. This is bad. When it was a .com story and it's turned out it's looking like a work, whereas on the flip side, not what, 2-3 weeks ago when The Rock tore his stomach off of his body and went and got that fixed. Oh, that's bullshit. He just didn't want to show up on Raw and put Cena over. So the internet wrestling community totally 100%, well, maybe not 100%, but like 95% bought into John Cena's injury when it turns out he was hurt, not injured. But on the flip side, when The Rock tore his stomach off of the rest of his body, oh, it's bullshit. He just didn't want to do his job.
And that'll transition into our final topic for this first segment in a little bit. But I don't remember who said it. I don't remember if I was watching Cornette and Bill Moody, which I watched all those. You had talked about watching the shoot videos with Cornette and Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
And then I'd found all of them and watched them. And I don't remember if it was him or Flair, but talking about how marks can't be smart.
Mm-hmm.
I think it doesn't matter who it was, but they made the good point, just to kind of paraphrase, is wouldn't it be more fun if you just enjoyed it?
Exactly.
And stopped worried about, like, we go try to get news and stuff because we do this podcast and we like to, we're not trying to fantasy book and we're not trying to overanalyze the WWE. We feel like the conversations that we have about wrestling are interesting and other people might want to listen to them. That's a little conceited.
I don't think that's a little conceited. I think
that's a lot conceited. That's a little ego. We happen to be radio guys.
So that kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah, we're combining a vocation and a passion
mm-hmm.
and making a product that we hope people will see and like and that we can, you know.
And based on the numbers, there are people out there listening. So thank you for your continued listenership.
But we just like to talk about the business, and it's not about trying to figure out exactly what's going on and criticizing the WWE and well, I would have done this. Well, but
that's not to
you're
say
not
we,
a, you're not a bazillionaire. And you don't own a wrestling company.
Exactly. But I mean, that's not to say we won't criticize the WWE when we see something. They need to be taken to task about, but at the same time, we're not. We're not
trying to figure everything out.
Exactly.
We're like guys who, let's say, we really liked action movies, and we did an action movie podcast, and we would go see an advanced screening of Iron Man 3.
That would be cool.
Yeah, we would come and we would tell you what we liked and disliked about Iron Man 3, and maybe you could have done this or you could that, but we're not trying to. We're not trying to figure out what's happening.
Exactly. That's a perfect analogy to what
we're doing. We're critiquing the product. It's just like, you know, people or hosts or callers have a criticism of what a football team does on a sports talk show. But at the end of the day, we're not trying to say we know better. We're just giving our opinion.
Exactly.
And I think the internet wrestling community gets so caught up in the... It's like the same thing as when... There's a band who starts underground, and then when they become mainstream, people don't like it.
Fucking sold out. They cut their hair.
I knew Edge when he was wrestling in Calgary on an Indian reservation.
I saw Chris Jericho when he wrestled at Smoky Mountain Wrestling with Lance Storm. Oh, which I actually did see really good work
and all that stuff, but just enjoy the product.
And that's the thing. It's like, I know I made the joke a few episodes ago. I know it's a foreign concept, enjoying wrestling, but just based on the internet reaction and seeing the way some people react to Raw, it's like, if you get this worked up over a TV show, why the fuck do you watch? Because you clearly aren't having fun. You clearly aren't enjoying it, so why are you still watching?
Yeah, or like, you know, just enjoy the storyline. And it doesn't matter, you know, what wrestler you like or don't like. You don't have to follow along and decide, well, he's the face, so I have to like him, and I really don't like that because I don't like him. I don't want to like him. Well, then fine. Like the heel, but just watch the storyline for the storyline.
Exactly.
Watch it for what it is. It's in the company's name. Mm-hmm. Entertainment.
But we don't want entertainment. We want wrestling.
Well,
go watch a Chikara video,
go
dude.
Watch a Chikara video.
Go watch ROH.
Or ROH or Impact Wrestling, because apparently they're about wrestling. It's where the wrestling matters.
I've
been told.
Is that what they're about? Because I've been trying to figure that out myself.
That's their claim, I guess. But speaking of who knows, Landon, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Have you ever had any good reason to dislike a perfectly normal 8-year-old who's never done anything to annoy you? And I think you know where I'm going with this.
No, but I'm not one of the mouth breathers that makes up the internet wrestling community.
Make-A-Wish is a fantastic organization.
They absolutely are. One of the best in the world.
I'll get personal on y'all, and I'll give y'all the Cliff Notes version of this. When I was 13, I had cancer, went to St. Jude, they treated me, took a year. I've been cancer-free since January of 2003.
Hell,
10 years.
Hell yeah.
Really don't have any major problems associated with it. Not anything that's not manageable and unexpected and worth trading for having your life. And I got to participate in Make-A-Wish.
Really? I didn't know that. What was your wish, if you don't mind me asking?
I went to the Southern 500 and met Jeff Gordon, went down in the pit area.
Nice.
And I got to walk through the garage, and not only got to spend some time talking with Jeff Gordon, but got to meet a lot of the other drivers, as NASCAR is really smart. While we're waiting for Jeff to be ready to meet with us, they had a stand in between where the garage area is and where the motor coach lot is. They're both fenced off, but there's like a walkway between them. As they're fenced off, and different people have different access to different areas, so no one could go past, or no one could go to their motor coach for having to walk past me. And who's going to say no to the 14-year-old kid who's asking for autographs? Right?
That's brilliant on their part.
So got to meet all sorts of NASCAR legends. I have like a T-shirt. I have like a T-shirt somewhere with like 40 autographs on it.
That's pretty cool, man.
But that's what I wanted to do, you know.
Okay, so let me ask you, was there some fat piece of shit redneck NASCAR fan like 40 feet away from you booing you and screaming, "You suck!"
No.
Oh, well, crazy how that works, right?
Right. So Make-A-Wish is awesome, and I don't care what your wish is. You had this really catastrophic life event happen to you, have some catastrophic illness, and you're a kid, and you should be able to enjoy life. So if getting to meet John Cena...
Or Jeff Gordon,
or getting to be a firefighter for the day.
Or going to hang out with Bruce Willis or something if you wanted to.
Whatever you want to do to help you forget about that. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes you do your Make-A-Wish in the midst of getting treatment, because like you might have leukemia and that might be like a 5-year thing.
Exactly, yeah. You might have something to where you have to do it while you're in treatment. Because
yeah, so you get to go to Raw for the day and forget about being sick. You know how awesome that is?
Well, it's like not having gone through that, I can only imagine what it is, but it's like on a scale of 1 to 10, that's like a fucking 15 on the awesome scale.
Yeah, you get to go, the bottom line is what Make-A-Wish does is it makes kids' lives better makes them feel good. Mm-hmm. And they've done research that these kids who participate in whatever one of those, where there's all sorts of different organizations that grant wishes to ill children and do things for, you know, they do a whole lot better overall because it lifts their spirits.
Well, and I would imagine that, yeah.
So when John Cena asked you to show them
not what one, it's like, not two, but three.
With awesome names, by the way.
Yeah, those three are my favorite wrestlers now.
Nick
the Stitch, Lightning Logan, and you can say the last one.
The Eliminator.
Yeah. I totally marked awesome. Out for that, yeah.
I'm going to make an Eliminator t-shirt.
Yeah, WWE.com, get your shit together and give us an Eliminator t-shirt.
And give all the money to Make-A-Wish.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, there you go. Fantastic idea from Nearfall Radio, yes. On the Button on Ships Network.
But the point is, cheer for them.
Exactly. They're 8-year-old kids who are literally facing death.
Don't boo cancer patients.
And some motherfucking moron in the crowd.
Some asshole.
John Cena, you suck! Boo! Boo! Seriously? Put it back in your pants,
you
dude.
You can hate John Cena's character, and that's fine. And you can be tired of John Cena's character and wish they'd do something else. Because Lord knows sometimes you hear that hard sell promo for the 100th time.
Well, John Cena should turn heel. That way he can be a badass.
Whatever.
I like how all wrestling fans are dumb rednecks, according to me.
Yeah, well, they are. Except usually the dumb rednecks love Cena the most.
Yeah.
There are no dumb rednecks in the IWC. That I know of, anyway. You can you cannot like a person or not if they do great things like John Cena does for Make-A-Wish.
Mm-hmm.
Put it aside for 10 seconds, and if you don't want to applaud for John Cena, applaud for the damn kids. But applaud for John Cena. He's done over 300 wishes by himself.
Isn't he the all-time wish granter?
Guinness World Record for most Make-A-Wishes granted.
And it's like, I've heard whenever he gets one of these things, it's never well, I don't know if I can fit it in. He always finds a way to do it.
And it's not about fame. I think.
Oh, no, not at all.
He did 295-something wishes before he ever let the cameras film him. And the only reason he did that was I think Raw 1000 was coming up, or one of the big Raws was coming up when he was getting close to breaking the record, and the WWE
and Make-A-Wish
and Make-A-Wish
wanted
to acknowledge all this work John Cena had done quietly. So how could you not like that? Not only is he a good person, he's not out there trying to do it to get attention. Say, look at me,
exactly.
I've done 300 wishes.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the kids, and it's not. That he shows up, oh, I got 5 minutes, kid, what you want?
Exactly. I mean, it's like on Raw this past Monday, they showed a video where he showed up and surprised the kid on the Today Show.
That's applaudable. That's the greatest thing ever. And if for no other reason, I will always, for the most part, like John Cena. He'll always be one of my favorite wrestlers, A, because I really do think he's a good worker. Even if he's not the most technical worker, he has a passion for the business, and he's a good person. So, with that said, if you boo John Cena at Raw, please never listen to this podcast and kiss my ass.
And realize there's a special place in hell for people like you.
And on that note of you going to hell and kissing our ass, I think we need to pay some bills.
Yes, before we do that, I would like to point out we're recording this on May the 1st, 2013. Tomorrow is May the 2nd, which here in America is kind of in the last few years, it's become a big deal because it's the anniversary of when we got Osama bin Laden.
We squashed him. We finally won.
We're going to squash him. And when I say we, I don't mean me and Rab personally went over to Afghanistan and killed him. Well, at least that you know of. I say we as in the collective America. So
yes.
Taking us out is going to be, I guess, the song of a true American hero.
Yep.
So we'll see you on the other side of the break, brother.
When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, you gotta take a stand and don't have to hide. If you hurt my friends, then you hurt my pride. I gotta be a man, I can't let it slide. I am a real American.
Hey guys, Daz here. Wanted to tell you about our friends at Body by Beer. I've been working on the bump for a few years, and I've been seeing results the entire time, but last week was a personal best for me. I was at home watching the NBA playoffs, go Grizz, and I ate an entire casserole of hamburger helper, and that's when Body by Beer really started kicking in. I've been working on the new Belgium routine before, as you'll hear one second. Ah, it's the good stuff. But this new spring seasonal routine that they have is like nothing I've ever had before. I was full of pasta and hamburger meat. Once Body by Beer kicked in, I never felt better. Feel good for a few hours at a time. Try Body by Beer today.
Not available all years. Please consult a physician before beginning the program. Prices and participation may vary. Not valid in Alaska, Hawaii, and parts of Iowa. Must be 21 or older. Take participation. Seriously, don't do this. You've done it if you do. You'll die from liver failure. You alcohol is a piece of shit.
That's right, tough guy. Welcome back to Near Fall Radio here on the Buckhead Ships Network. Hell yeah, Hacksaw Jim Duggan kicks ass.
Well, I don't need a gimmick. I just need a 2x4.
And an American flag, and by God, it works for him.
The most successful slow person in the history of the world.
Aw, that's mean. We love you, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I love Hacksaw, but I mean, you know, sometimes his character is he's running in like third gear and everybody else is in high.
I remember watching Hacksaw when I was a wee doz, like running around when I was 5 or 6.
But, absolutely, man. Yeah, but love that 2x4.
Absolutely. What's not to like about Hacksaw Jim Duggan? If you do know some reason not to like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, let us know on Twitter, twitter.com/landoz, twitter.com/thewillrab, twitter.com/nearfallradio.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love to argue with people. I would love to have a great argument with you and then report you for spam so you're kicked off of Twitter.
Yeah, because Rab, that's the only way Rab will get in an argument is if he can have the last word and if he can ban you from a social media platform.
I'm kidding, folks. I'm kidding. Although I do enjoy banning people who like to berate our station that we're employed by.
Yeah, but I stand by the statement, you're just power tripping a little bit.
No, because these people, they're legitimate trolls on the internet, and some of them happen to be trolls of my show.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. Before I started working there, I listened to that station, and I probably know some of these trolls because I was sitting behind my ear saying, God damn it, this guy again? Yeah. Which, now that I work there, I know that the person running the board is also saying, God damn it, this guy again?
Yep.
But we're not here to talk about where we work or give you insider information.
Yeah, because we kind of would like to keep our job.
Yeah, that, and we really don't know anything to give you.
No, we don't know any. They don't actually tell us crap.
Yeah, we just know enough to not burn down the station.
Well, quick, some guy called me yesterday. He wanted to know what was going on with WNOX and why Ed and Bob's show was off the air. And literally, so I told him, I don't care. My job is to bury them.
Well, they are the competition.
They're the competition, and I hope we bury them.
Well, they're changing their format.
And if I literally, if I get called in for Sam, would be like, is that not the goal?
Yeah.
Our goal is to be number one, right?
We don't play for second.
No, I'm like Howard Stern. I want to have a funeral for you when I crush you.
Hell yes.
Anyway, back into wrestling and
speaking of funerals,
that was a
god.
Totally,
oh my god,
totally unintentional.
So I kind of hate us, Rab. But speaking of funerals, that does transition into our next story. It was recently announced that the class of 2014 with the WWE Hall of Fame is finally getting its first inductee, and it is the recently departed late great Paul Bearer.
Just happened to work. You just got to roll with it.
And like you said,
it just so happened that we had
a perfect segue.
Seriously, we've both seen him, and I don't remember the YouTube channel that it's on, but it's not hard to find. Just type in Jim Cornette and Percy Pringle.
Yeah, they have a series of shoot videos, and they're really entertaining. It's just two friends who have been working together for eons, just talking about all the stories. Exactly. And it's kind of like what you and I are doing. We're just two friends talking about something we're both passionate about, but unlike us, they're entertaining.
Two quick highlights from that. One, talking about the pranks. it was not really a prank, but I think it's just funny. One of the things that Percy did when he was working for the WWE. Remember when the urn lit up?
Yes, yeah, it had that light in it.
That was an airport runway light, and it weighed like 50 pounds. And it had a case it had to go in. It had like batteries and like huge Jeez. Batteries to be able to power this thing. It was like 50 pounds. And it made Percy responsible for carrying it around.
Poor Percy.
So he didn't want to. So he just decided he wasn't going to sell it. but he also wanted to F with Vince. So he, like, you know, they have the airport luggage carts.
Yeah.
He'd get his own cart and put the light on his own cart, and then he would get a Brillo pad and some like metal polish, and he'd go get a chair right next to Vince's door, and he'd just sit there and polish the urn. And then that's why the urn. If you like that the urn lit up and you wonder why it stopped, it's because Percy Pringle didn't want to carry the damn thing.
Yeah, because they put the kibosh on it, saying, "Yeah, I'm not looking to lug around this 50-pound piece of thing."
And then the other one, he was driving with Mark Calloway, Undertaker.
Yeah, Undertaker, as he's known to most of us.
Yeah, but
to you and I, he's known as Mark, Marky Mark.
We call him Mark.
Yeah, I call him Marky Mark.
I mean, we're calling Paul Bearer like four different names. So I mean,
well, dude has had four different names. Yeah. So, yeah.
And they were driving somewhere, and Percy had to pee.
Well, nature does call.
And Undertaker's like, well, you got to pump the gas first, and then we'll both go in, because Undertaker didn't want to be out there by himself pumping gas.
Well, yeah, because he's a 7-foot dude who happens to be the Undertaker pumping gas. Yeah. Maybe punching gas. And I don't know how the Undertaker fills up a car.
I don't know exactly what happened, if it's just the length of time or what it was, or the combination of pumping the gas and needing to pee and hearing the liquid. Well, Percy peed his pants.
Oh, Percy!
Then he went in to finish and like try to clean up, and I guess this might have been when they first came out with cell phones or something, but they weren't that far from the arena. Undertaker, either through his magic or however.
Yeah, Undertaker does have magic, so he could have just used his
ESP or
his
somehow,
devil brain powers.
Yeah, he somehow Vince McMahon found out that Percy Pringle pissed his pants. So when Percy got there to his spot in the locker room, there was a package waiting for him. And he opens up the box, and it's full of the pins. And, of course, my secondhand telling of this story is not as good.
Yeah, so do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, search Jim Cornette, Percy Pringle, or Jim Cornette, Paul Bearer shoot videos.
Yeah, and they're talking about like both their days in the Sportatorium and working in World Class.
Yeah.
And the Sportatorium Greece.
Oh, boy.
And the old ring and all this stuff. And it was just fantastic.
Maybe we need to do an episode on shoot videos on YouTube at some point.
Over the summer, man, we just need to talk about, like, just good stories.
Yeah, once...
It's like funny stories from the biz, things that, like, are things we just enjoy that we've picked up, like, in our wrestling fandom.
Yeah, once WWE goes on summer break, like, schools, and they start doing crazy stuff, because why? Fuck it, that's why.
The month leading into bragging rights.
Oh boy, but
nobody cares about. Huh?
But yeah, we'll figure out something to talk about.
But needless to say, what we're trying to the point we're trying to make, talking about Bill Moody, Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer, is that he was a great man, did a lot in the business, worked with a lot of great people, and we are really, really glad that. According to reports from WrestleView.com, that he is planned to be the first member of the WWE Hall of Fame.
For the class of 2014. And it's like, just on the scale of professional wrestler managers, where would you put Paul Bearer?
Not number one, but in my top five.
Okay, well, you say not in your top five. Let me put you on the spot here.
In my top five.
Okay,
in your top five,
but not number one. Let me put you on the spot here. Who would be your top five?
My number one would be Bobby Heenan. My number two, honestly, would be a guy who's still working, Paul Heyman. Paul Bearer, number three. Jim Cornette, number four. And number five.
The Insane Clown Posse.
No.
Wait, no. Yeah. Not them. They're terrible.
That's tough.
The Misfits. Because at one point they were managers. You remember when they had the Kiss Demon in WCW?
I would go because even though she was kind of a valet, Sensational
WCW
Sherry, who Randy Savage, worked with Sean.
Didn't like it when she worked with Sean, yeah. A little bit jealous.
So that would be my top five. And honestly, that we were both Paul Heyman guys, but if you take away everything he did in the business, I'm purely ranking him what I had at number two.
Yeah, you had him two behind the Brain, which that's a pretty damn good ranking behind.
I'm ranking that just on his managerial because he's really good at it.
Yeah,
he brought in Brock Lesnar. He worked great with CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. He understands the business from all angles, and he knows what he's doing.
Even the stuff from his first run with WWE, he was doing good stuff. I mean, even when they moved him away from Brock, when Brock decided he wanted to go be a Minnesota Viking before he decided he wanted to be an Ultimate Fighter, and they moved him to the announcing position, he was fantastic there. And when they moved him into quote-unquote positions of power on the television shows, he was fantastic there.
And before he even went to ECW, he was a good manager. He worked for
Paulie Dangerous, yeah.
Paulie Dangerously worked at mm-hmm. WCW and some other places.
That he did. Dangerous Alliance, baby.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, we're talking about how Paul Bearer, to bring this back on point, is the first inductee into the class of 2014 WWE Hall of Fame. And the Hall of Fame hasn't been a quote-unquote physical place. It's been held Saturday before WrestleMania every year.
It's been an award bestowed.
Exactly.
It's been an honor bestowed to somebody.
It's not like you could go to Cooperstown and see the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You couldn't go to Stanford and see the WWE Hall of Fame, but that might be changing. This is a quote from Triple H talking about the possibility of an actual physical location for the Hall of Fame. If you're going to build a Hall of Fame, it has to be a destination location. If you're going to go down that road, you have to go where the people are, and if you are looking to do that, you have to go to destinations. You have to look at places like Orlando. You'd have to think about a place like Las Vegas. It's creating the opportunity for people to come there and have lots of things to do besides just what you do. It has to be an immersive experience. It can't just be you coming in and looking at guys' trunks from 1945.
That's a very valid point. I think one of the things in this area, obviously we're lucky in that you can drive to Nashville, and if you're a country music fan, they have the Country Music Hall of Fame. And there's a lot of stuff to do. There's a lot. They've done a good job putting it together in the fact that, well, it's number one, smart for business. You can't go through the Country Music Hall of Fame in one day. They've done a really good job of putting exhibits together, and they have exhibits that rotate in and out.
Mm-hmm.
It's an immersive experience. To draw another sports Hall of Fame that's new, the NASCAR Hall of Fame has kind of been going through some growing pains, but they do bring different things in and out, and they've done a really good job of, it's not just Dale Earnhardt's helmet. It's really the history of the sport and explaining the sport. I think what the WWE would need to do is, A, pick a good location.
Triple H is right about that. It has to be a place where people are already going. It's like, I honestly don't know how Major League Baseball and the NFL get people to go see their Hall of Fames in Cooperstown, New York, and Canton, Ohio. Yeah.
Those are there because those are historic places. And that's just where it is.
And I can understand that, being a fan of the product, but at the same time.
Or a great example is the College Football Hall of Fame actually moved from South Bend, Indiana to Atlanta, Georgia, because Atlanta's a I don't want to say better city, but a more entertainment destination city.
As opposed to South Bend during a non-football season.
I got to go to the College Football Hall of Fame when it was in South Bend, so it was really cool to go there and then go to Notre Dame Stadium, but whatever.
That's pretty cool.
I think a Vegas would be, I don't know if a Vegas is,
Vegas would be fun, but I don't know if that would really go with the TVPG image they're going for.
I like the idea of Orlando, because
you could go to Disneyland.
I don't want to discredit the WWE Hall of Fame, and maybe you eventually move it, but what if you started out and you put it at like a Universal or somewhere, and that was a attraction?
That wouldn't be a bad idea. Well, but the thing is, you couldn't do it with Universal because they still have that stink of being associated with TNA on them.
Well, I'm just making an example.
Or how about this? Just be in Orlando for the next 5 to 10 years, and then once Disney inevitably buys WWE, you can just move next door. Because Disney's going to own the world before it's all said and done.
I think having it in an entertainment destination is key, though. Number two, like he said, it can't just be Luthez's trunks.
Exactly. That'll draw in some people, but that's not going to hold the attention of their target market, which is 5 to 12-year-olds.
Do a really good job of representing the sport from literally the beginnings at the carnival all the way to now. But then also take the – remember what you do at Access each year. Think about, okay, we had this booth at Access, and this was the hot booth. Make it fun. Make it interactive where you can see what it's like to be a wrestler.
Yeah, have a ramp where you can set up. You have 50 song options, 50 video options, 50 light options, and you go up to the dude running the booth, be like, "Give me song 34, entrance 19, light set 18," and you can come out and have your own quote unquote entrance.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like I see that video on Access on the Access breakdown every year.
And you know what I would do? I would build a small arena. If you will, seats like 1,000 or 1,500 people, 2,000.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the venue. And you know, right now they're taping NXT at Full Sail. Because you don't need a ton of people to show up. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not dogging NXT, but if you could seat 2,500 people in a little amphitheater and part of coming to the Hall of Fame on certain nights is you could see what goes into the production of a WWE TV show.
And they could sell it. Come see the Hall of Fame and see the stars of yesterday. Come to NXT and see the future Hall of Famers and stars of tomorrow.
$5, $10 to see the NXT taping. Let's say like they start at like 6:30. The actual matches maybe don't start till like 7:15 or 7. Let's say somebody came out and they talked you through the psychology of how they tape these TV shows. And I'm saying you want to keep the secrets, but with NXT, you're not really spoiling anything by explaining, okay, well, this is our setup, and this is how we, and this is our idea. This is what gives you an idea of what goes into these shows.
That would be a really good idea. And in all honesty, that would really fit with the Hall of Fame theme because, I mean, part of the reason you go to the Hall of Fame is you want to see it and you're interested in it. But the other reason is you're interested in it and you want to learn more about it. And what better opportunity than have like a production assistant come out and be like, all right, when we're gonna give you 5 count. When we come back, I want everybody to go crazy because we're going to have pyros coming off. And the guy's going to come out and he's going to be talking to the hard camera. And he points over here and said, this is where the hard camera is. So I need everybody behind him to just start freaking out, acting like they're on fire for these reactions.
I mean, they do that at those live, but to just explain like the kind of the psychology of what, or just I guess give people an understanding of what goes into a production, and get to see it.
That would be really cool.
Maybe even if you didn't get that deep, like I think taping NXT at the Hall of Fame would be a good draw because it's free promotion.
That it is,
and it gives you. It gives you something, reason to come. Oh, they're taping NXT Tuesday night. Matches start at 8. I'm going to come down to the Hall of Fame. I'm going to come early, and I'm going to look around, and I'm going to go see NXT. Even if you don't get into my...
That actually sounds like a pretty good business
even
setup.
If you don't get into my nerd part of tearing down the fourth wall and showing and pulling back the curtain.
And then
which I think you could. I don't think it's bad to do a little bit of that every now.
Well,
I mean,
the Attitude Era was nothing but pulling the curtain back, and the internet wrestling community acts like it's the second coming of Christ. So, I mean, there would be people who would really enjoy that. And of course, if they did actually build a physical Hall of Fame, and they did go the route you're suggesting, strategically placed next to every exit, official WWE.com merchandising zones.
Yeah,
you got to try and ring mom and dad for a $35 John Cena T-shirt on the way out the door.
And sell stuff that you can only get in the Hall of Fame, like these
Hall of Fame exclusive
these
merchandise.
Guys you have on like Legends
that
contracts.
That would be cool. Yeah, you could get a Big Daddy Cool Diesel T-shirt if you wanted to.
I could get that Harley Race T-shirt that never existed.
I hadn't even considered that. Yeah, you would be able to make merchandise for people who never had the opportunity to have merchandise.
I would totally pay $25 for a Luthez T-shirt just because people don't know who that is.
That'd be cool.
But I think that'd be a great idea to have a Hall of Fame. You just have to have a hook.
Yeah,
and it has to be in a good location.
Yeah, Triple H was spot on that one. It has to be a place where people are already going to take their vacations. Like, yeah, there will be some hardcore people who will decide this year's vacation is we're going to, let's say they put it in Orlando, we're going to Orlando and we're going to go to the Hall of Fame. Because, I mean, there are people, kids and dads will take tandem trips to go up to Cooperstown or go up to Canton or whatever to go see the Hall of Fame. So there are people like that that exist, but at the same time, WWE is going after little kids. So
I'm willing to Disney World.
That's again
for a week.
Orlando. You mentioned Orlando as a possible destination. I think that would be fantastic because you have multiple things that already draw the kids in. So why not? Hey, what's up? I'm Triple H. You want to come check out my Hall of Fame?
The only thing I would wonder is I do like that the Hall of Fame induction is part of WrestleMania weekend, and I know the WWE loses some money on that.
Well, they lost money this year because they held the show in Madison Square Garden. And the reason they lost money is because their production value has gotten so good and also so expensive, they can't break even when they do MSG, which is kind of sad.
It's not going to stop them from going to MSG,
though. No, it's not going to stop them from going to MSG, but it is going to stop them from having pay-per-views and maybe Raws at MSG. But at the same time, even if they do make a physical Hall of Fame place, I don't think the Hall of Fame induction ceremony would be taken away from WrestleMania weekend. Because at the same time, like you said, it's become a part of WrestleMania weekend as a whole. I mean, like USA, for crying out loud, shows it.
Yeah, I think it's good when you're at the biggest event of the year to honor your past.
Exactly.
Yep. A couple other things we didn't want to talk about. Several things that we wanted to talk about. Looks like CM Punk is going to be at a few shows.
Well, right? Some reports came out today saying he was being advertised for the July 4th and July 5th shows in Tokyo, Japan. But then we also saw reports earlier this week. I want to say it was from PW Insider. I think I read it on WrestleView that CM Punk had been written off of WWE programming through SummerSlam.
I just have a hard time believing that.
It's like I could see him being off TV until the build up to SummerSlam and bring him back in Los Angeles, but for him to not show up at SummerSlam,
I think there's no. I'm just gonna go on a limb.
Okay.
And I've done it a few times, and I was right. So we'll do it. CM Punk will work a match at SummerSlam. That's not really going out on a limb.
Well, I mean, if you believe the reports that came out here recently, that is going out on a limb.
I guess I'm saying I don't believe the reports.
Well, it's like I have a hard time believing he's going to be gone until, like, what, October, September? I mean, dude needs time off, and dude's going to get time off. But does he's – all right, so he would be off April, May, June, July, or SummerSlam is at the end of August. So he would be out almost – 5 calendar months.
Unless there's some dispute we don't know about or some injury that's taken longer to heal, but
I mean that is a possibility. He could still be feeling the effects of what did he have worked on in December? He had surgery for like
his knee.
Yeah, his knee, that's right. So there could be some lingering side effects of that injury. I mean, there could be a contract dispute, but I kind of feel like if there was a contract dispute, we would know about it cuz CM Punk is the type of individual who's like, yeah, I don't care. I'm going to let these people know because we knew about his contract running out at Night of Champions.
Let's just
wait. No, not money. Money in the bank. Yeah, I clearly know what I'm talking about.
Let's just put it this way: CM Punk has lost his smile, and although that is a very serious thing, as we all know, thanks to HBK,
yes,
educating us on the danger of losing your smile.
Yeah, do not lose your smile. Bad things happen.
I do not think it'll take him until September to find it. I think he wants and deserves time off, but I think at the end of June or the first of July, I think he's going to start kicking it back in. You start seeing him, and he'll find something that's interesting to him, and it's good to go. Sometimes, rather than just trying to find the next good thing, like even if whatever he comes back and does could be really good, it'll be better because he's been gone.
Exactly. Because
it makes it a whole lot easier to restart things when you just leave sometimes.
Yeah, as opposed to trying to force something, which can damage your character as opposed to enhance it.
It is good to go away sometimes.
Yeah, and it's like, you and I, we're fans of Punk. I don't think we've made any qualms about hiding that, but it's like, dude deserves time off. Dude needs time off. Dude needs to go be up in Chicago for 6 weeks, go to every Cubs game that he wants to, go to every Bulls playoff game if he wants to, go check some Blackhawk games. Are they in the playoffs?
Yeah, they won in overtime.
Okay, well, there we go. So they're in the playoffs. He could go check them out. I mean, he could go see a bunch of shows. I think he's really good friends with the lead singer of Social Distortion. Or he could go hang out with Chael Sonnen some more if he wanted to.
Or, you know, make sure Colt Cabana hasn't given up on life.
Hi there, Colt.
Hey there. How you doing?
Yeah, hey there, Colt Cabana. Yeah.
How you doing?
That was a fun promo.
It was. That was one of the best promos of all time. But, yeah, he needs time off, He's not going to miss a major pay-per-view.
So
unless he's injured.
So I guess the next major pay-per-view is SummerSlam. So you're saying you think he'll be at SummerSlam
he'll
in the ring.
He'll be at SummerSlam doing something.
Doing something, maybe not in the ring.
No, he'll be in the ring with somebody doing something.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of in the same camp with you. I find it hard to believe that somebody like Punk will be out for 5 months. Unless he is hurt. I mean, he could be hurt for all we know, and he's just not saying anything.
Who knows? But he is booked to work those shows in Japan.
Advertised for other shows than just the July 4th, 5th shows in Tokyo. He is currently advertised for the Raw tapings on the 27th of May in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Following week on the 6th of June in Hartford, Connecticut, and again on the 17th of June in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So CM Punk has been advertised for 5 dates this summer, which kind of flies in the face of the news we heard earlier that he was out until SummerSlam. So that kind of gives me more credence to get in your camp saying he will be back before SummerSlam and he'll be in the ring at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I think he's going to take a little bit of time off, and we don't know exactly what they're going to do, but he might come back at the you know, end of May, early June might be enough time off for him, or he might just make some spot appearances. But you know, we're gonna find out what's going on with him, as far as the storyline goes. And we talked about how taking time off is good sometimes. I think this is really good for Punk because he can come back in and he can be used properly, mm-hmm. and they can put him in a championship feud. Without it being rehashed. And
if that's what they want to do.
If that's what they want to do. And maybe not. And I don't know. I don't think they necessarily have to do John Cena right off the bat. What if, you know, Ziggles is riding for a while over there with the World Heavyweight. And, yeah, it's sort of the B title, but it's still a belt. And you could do something with those two. He comes back and he goes after a completely different thing.
Yeah, Punk comes back, still calling himself best in the world. Out comes Ziggler. Where have you been for the last 5 months? Because if you've been paying attention, I'm now the best in the world.
Yeah.
And then here comes Chris Jericho back from Fozzy. I'd like to point out that I am the best at what I do. And then here comes Wolverine from the X-Men who says, I'm the best at what I do, bub. Snick. And scene.
But, you know, that's the kind of thing that going away gives you the freedom to do.
And it's like,
and I'm not going to waste time getting a fantasy booking, but I think that'd be a great angle. And it allows you to put two really good workers and to put CM Punk with Ziggler, and Ziggler can certainly hold his own.
Yeah,
but if you want to
take
him from where he is right now, which is great, to legend. Let him work with CM Punk, man.
Legend's a big word. That would put him on that next level. And it's like, honestly, what I would want to see out of those two, I would want to see Ziggler bump for Punk, and I would want to see Punk bump for Ziggler, because those two would bump like there's no tomorrow.
Nobody this side of the Nature Boy Ric Flair sells like them, which is great.
I honestly think Ziggler is the best seller in the business today.
We're going to wrap this up. But just to wrap that up, you know, that's certainly a possibility. But, again, the overall point is we love seeing CM Punk work, but him going away would allow him to come back fresh. It is really – it comes at a perfect time, not only for him physically, mentally, but career-wise.
And as a character standpoint as well.
Yeah, because the character needed – sometimes the best way to refresh something is to have it just go away.
Exactly. And when it comes back, it's fresh.
Yeah. So I think it's we had a I think it's his time to put a wrap on the old show
yep.
for today.
I think it's time to close out this show, Rab. I think we've done a pretty adequate job, per usual.
I agree. Yeah,
pretty okay. And again, we're recording this on the 1st of May, 2013, and we had a theme with our music going. Tomorrow is the anniversary of Osama bin Laden's death, but today itself is actually a very special day that we'll let my friend and yours, Jonathan Colton, tell you about as he takes us out. So, Rab, any final words you would like to give our friends, the listener?
To be the man, you have to beat the man.
Woo. Follow him on Twitter at twitter.com/thewillrab. That's R-A-B-B. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/landoz, L-A-N-D-O-Z. Or you can follow the combination of us at Near Fall Radio at twitter.com/nearfallradio. So for my co-host, my tag team partner, Will Rab, I am Landon Doan, thanking you for listening to another episode of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips.
Sit on your butt munch.
Began to sing, and he sang, ooh, child, what you think a cold winter's gonna last forever? Ooh, child, now's the time for all the people to get together. Maybe I'll see you in flagrante delicto. Grass below you, sky above. Celebrate spring with a crazy little thing called fucking outside. I thanked him for the information. I cried a little when he flew away. I watched an episode of the People's Court and I tried to plan my day. Called up my old lady, she wasn't home, so I called my girl. I asked her if she'd like to join me as I entertain the world. And I said, ooh, child, I bring a blanket and I promise I will brush the ants off. Ooh, child, you're gonna like it when we're digging each other's pants off outside. Your favorite lady, or at least your favorite thing. Water's not cold, baby, dip in your big toe. Maybe I'll see you in flagrante delicto. Grass below you, sky above. Celebrate spring with a crazy little thing called fucking outside. So we went to the park together. We were walking in the midday sun. Met all kinds of people and we fucked everyone. We fucked the lady who sells ice cream. We fucked a man with a tan sharp head. Everyone who needed fucking well, they got fucked today. So come on, ooh, child, open your mind and your heart. Feel the spirit moving. Child, you feel the warmth of the love when I stick it to you outside. Cause it's the 1st of May, 1st of May. Outdoor fucking starts today. Bring your favorite lady, or at least your favorite thing. Water's not cold, baby, dip in your big toe. Maybe I'll see you in flagrante delicto. Grass below you, sky above. Celebrate spring with a crazy little thing called fucking outside.